Welcome to Waking Up in America with Valerie Kirkgaard. All comments, views, and opinions expressed on this show are solely those of Valerie, her guests, and callers. Now here's your host, Valerie Kirkgaard.
This is for you. This is for you and me, and who we see when we see each other. This is for all, this is for all the time you tried to find your sister or your brother. And you're not crazy anymore, you've been waiting at the door. And it's time to open.
And Valerie, are you there?
Oh, my goodness. You know, I was done this great introduction, Randy, but I had the mute button on.
Oh, no.
Did you fall asleep?
Show.
Oh, no, no. It was actually one of my better beginnings, but unfortunately it fell into mute ears. So, good morning, you American State Nationals. You're listening to Waking Up in America, dynamic radio dialogues brought to you by Key Media, happily200.hghbreakthrough.com. And by the way, somebody came up to me yesterday and said, oh my God, you're 10 years younger. So I love that, and I knew it was Thrive HGH. You really need to check it out. Bragg.com, and Bragg is with two G's, happily200.com, the possibility of living to be 200 years old, theconingcompany.com, Sir Jason Winter T, drvalerie.com, The Body Can, and Jason on Hair. Now, we have a global audience of over 600,000, so we're working on doubling that. So, what can I tell you? Download our shows on Thursdays. Click on live shows and archives at the website, wakingupinamerica.com, and you can still download any of our past shows and share them, and I would appreciate it, actually, if you would. So, and if you want to be a legal beagle and help out, take classes, form groups, and start questioning the law. They may be legal, but are they moral? And I remembered Tim, our good friend Tim, saying, Tim Turner, saying that what he was doing was he was going to train a little army of paper cutters, okay? And those little army of paper cuts were coming from all the paper that we were generating. And what I've been doing for the last 11 years is actually disagreeing with the court on how it's doing things. And Randy knows I went through some heavy duties this week. And what we're doing is we're actually moving forward into the future and creating the possibility you get to own your own home. In fact, that you probably already do own it. So check out what's going on as far as homes are concerned. If you want to, I've got a book called Evicted. It is about the story of 200 million people that have been evicted from their homes by the bank. So what you want to do is read that story and understand that banks are actually impoverishing us. So Memorial Day for us, we were talking about it before the show, is about service, okay? But what it's also about is courage, and it's also about breaking up systems that have been overlaid on us about who we are and what's happening. And we've got some very powerful stuff that's going to be occurring today when you hear about Randy's introduction to our guest. I really think, Randy, you're the one that found this treasure for us. And we got Paul with us today, too, so we're in good shape.
We should have a great show today. I'm excited.
That's Paul's
today.
Laugh, by the way. We haven't got Jonathan laughing yet, but I'm sure we will by the end of the show. So Randy introducts Jonathan. It takes almost 5 minutes to introduce.
It's more than that. I think you could go for an hour with this amazing, amazing human being's background. He's actually a career public servant, and he's got over 20 years of service as a Navy SEAL, FBI special agent, federal air marshal. He does private security contract work, and if he would drop names to you, your jaw would be open. I mean, we've had so many conversations about different people that he's worked with and what was going on behind the scenes. It's pretty interesting. He's actually an author. He's been on the top of Amazon's list since his book came out. It's titled A Sheep No More. and fascinating title. There's actually some groups out there called the Sheep No More. I used to own, I never told you this, Jonathan, but I actually used to own, maybe I still do, a sheepnomore.org. So we're kind of little kindred spirits going on here. Welcome to
I didn't know that. That's cool.
Yeah. So we're so glad to have you on. Welcome, Jonathan.
It's great to be with you all, and that's very interesting. Yeah, the book is Sheep No More. There's no A in front of it. So that's what there is, but I have seen a lot of different websites and blogs where people are saying A Sheep No More. No matter how you say it, though, everybody needs to stop being a sheep.
That's
first
right.
And foremost. Yeah.
Well, I thought maybe before we get riffing with Jonathan here that we could get a volcano report from Paul. And whatever it is that you wanted to pop in with, Paul, before we go into the full interview.
Well,
Jonathan, what do you think? Can you do that?
I'm delighted to have Jonathan on. Sheep No More, I think, came out about 3 years ago. And as Jonathan just mentioned, you know, the A was never there. It was never a sheep no more. But there's not very much happening because, you know, it's Memorial Day weekend. I was not sent to Hawaii, so I don't have to get a special mask for sulfur dioxide inhalation.
That's good.
sulfur dioxide is nasty stuff. The two friends I have in Hawaii are coming back in roughly 2 weeks, and they're still 6 miles from the biggest fissure, so that's good news. Even though a Stafford Act declaration has been put out, the way it works, in the event of a disaster in a given state, if the disaster reaches a level deemed serious by the governor, he declares a disaster, and it then goes into a Stafford Act declaration, at which point the government steps in to assist the state or the states that have declared Stafford Act declarations. And Hawaii did that about 12 days ago. But right now, the biggest issues are associated with the number of evacuees. So, you know, permanent housing or semi-permanent housing is in demand. And I think we'll be shipping probably a lot of MREs and water to the island. But we have warehouses relatively close by. We have a warehouse on Oahu, so it's not so bad. Otherwise, the big news is that thousands of routers in the United States and in roughly 48 or 50 countries throughout the world have been hacked by the Russian hackers as part of their attack on the Ukrainian cyber system. That's big news. So if you have a router in your house, shut it off and give it 2 or 3 minutes and turn it on again so that it can reset and clear itself in the event of any possible infections.
Oh, good advice. Yeah.
Well, let me ask you a question about the, excuse me. Is there any possibility, I've been hearing rumors that this volcano may have been stimulated by the HAARP machine. Have you heard anything about that, or have you, Jonathan?
I don't even know what that is exactly, so what you're referring to.
A HAARP machine is what I understood was created weather wars, and what happens with HAARP machines, Jonathan, is look, it's HAARP, and if you look it up, it's they actually seed the skies with aluminum, and they can actually control things like the weather. California, we had a 5-year drought, and one of the ways they determine that it's the HAARP machine is that the HAARP machine causes things to break up because it goes in reverse. So natural patterns on the planet, a tsunami, what happened in Japan with the nuclear plant, different things of that nature, the big tsunami that took out 200,000, I think, a number of years back.
The tsunami was caused by an earthquake, a 7.9 earthquake.
Right,
it was not a spontaneous tsunami.
If you examine the earthquake, and there's a specific pattern to it, those earthquakes were in reverse pattern, okay, and that's what they suggested. I wondered if you guys knew any rumors or anything, because that's what they're suggesting is it may have triggered the volcanic action and the tsunamis, and I wondered if either one of you knew anything about the HAARP machine.
Not at all.
You know, no, I don't know anything about it, but let me just give you a word of advice on, you know, from an investigative standpoint, when I look at things and I get theories about why things can happen. I'm going to give you an example that I always use as my litmus test. When I was in the Bureau, we had a case, and I can't go into great detail about the case, but an individual had was a drug dealer, and we were sitting on the house. We were working with the DEA in a joint operation, and the individual also had about 10,000 counterfeit watches.
Wow.
And so when it came, these are high-level, high-end counterfeit watches. And so when it came time to take the case down, because a bunch of drugs got delivered, and the woman and her assistant that delivered the drugs to this drug dealer, he had never seen them before. And we were up on the guy's phone, his email, his Facebook, everything. So we're tracking everything this guy's doing. And she delivers the drugs to the guy and then leaves. Now he's got 30,000 pills. I won't say what kind of pills they were, but he's got about 30,000 pills and 10,000 counterfeit watches.
Wow.
So we had to go in and get these drugs because we couldn't let the drugs walk out of the house and go to the street. So we wait till the evening. We go in, we take the drugs out, and we leave the watches in there, and then we monitor his phone to see what happens. And, of course, the guy comes in the morning. The drugs are gone. The watches are there. And he flips out, and he knows that somebody that he's never met before that has a very specific look delivered him drugs the day before. And he knows that the drugs are gone. That's all he knows. But he created an entire story in his brain based on two facts, and he started calling everybody saying that they had to get everybody together. They had to go find this person that delivered the drugs because she's going to come back and kill him and take over the drug territory that they work. And they started coming up with an elaborate plan of how they're going to do it and why these people would have done it and who was behind it. And so all they knew was that a woman delivered drugs at a very specific look, and that the drugs are now gone. That's all they knew, for real. But they had created this entire scenario based on that. So, and consequently, he got arrested, and he spent 30 years in jail, not for the drugs, but for the counterfeit watches, believe it or not.
Wow. Oh, my God.
Yeah, the judge charged him for the actual amount of those watches that it took off the street. But the whole point of the story is that he only knew about 10% of facts, and he made up based on his expertise, which was being a drug dealer and the stuff that he actually knew, and he had no idea that we were there, and so he made up the rest of it. Even though it was good, a good analysis, it was wrong, and that's why I always guard against trying to determine these types of events through what could be. If I don't have the knowledge for it, then I have to start digging for that information, but I try not to make an assumption that this was done in any nefarious type of way, such as the volcano or any other natural disaster being caused by man-made objects.
Jonathan, do me a favor.
Yeah.
Just check out the HAARP machine.
I'll look at
it. And the same for you, Paul, because this technology is not new. And
The technology of weather control started in 1939. It was initiated by the Nazis. they had attempts made in the area that was used for testing the V2 and the V1s, which was the Peenemünde rocket test site. And a few miles from there, they were attempting to control the weather in the North Sea. Some of the captured scientists were captured mostly by the Russians. And I don't know what the Russians did in terms of attempting to continue that, but during the Truman administration, specific systems were set up to attempt to generate rain, generate storms, but at the time it was not necessarily for offensive or defensive reasons, but more for agricultural control. However, they were operated by the military.
Huh. So this is very interesting. And what I'm also very interested about today is what we had talked about earlier in what I call the Radio Green Room. And what we had actually talked about earlier was that today is the day that we've almost forgotten of how it started. Today was started to commemorate the loss of life in the Civil War in the United States. And it's a day of remembering sacrifice and service. And Jonathan, you've given so much of your life to all of this.
Actually, all of the men too. Before you go into that, everyone, Mike, our producer, Paul, and Jonathan, everyone that's on this call has been one of those people contributing. But go ahead on Jonathan, because you're right. This bio is crazy long.
Yeah, it's a totally crazy bio. So when you're grilling, I don't mind that we grilled today. Think of somebody that you lost or that you loved or the service or reach for the service in your heart. Any comments on that, Jonathan?
Yeah, this is a controversy every year that people have about how we celebrate Memorial Day. But my take on it has always been that individuals that serve and die in that service, there's a lot of people who've died in service, not in ground combat, but they've given their lives. I know one individual that did not die, but a lot of people that did die, like he did over in Iraq, building the huts that people lived in, and he was electrocuted when he went in to take a shower. But he was in he had deployed and was in deployment in support of our freedom. There, the people that charge in the battle or go towards the sound of the guns or are deployed in response to the call by freedom should be celebrated. And I lost my beloved dog Rico, and before him my other dog Jesse, both my best friends, my mentors, my son and my daughter. These dogs were so loyal and good to me, always there with me. And I celebrate their lives. And that's the way that we should look at those who serve us. It's a solemn day. You should take time out to remember them. And then let's have a hamburger, and let's have a beer, and let's think and sit and talk and laugh and enjoy the very freedoms that they gave their lives for. Otherwise, on this very, very specific day, it'll end up being a day where we just simply sit with a down face. And that is not what you should do when it comes to the people who have given their lives for our freedom. You should go out and enjoy that freedom in recognition of them. What I don't like, though, is when people tell me, thank you for your service, because they don't understand that this day is not about me. And what I also don't like is when people go out, for Memorial Day is coming up, so let's have an event like a wedding. Everybody loves to have weddings on Memorial Day. Or are they going to go out and go on a vacation? And they don't stop to remember that the reason this holiday exists is not to give a card, not to eat a hamburger, not to get out of work. It's to remember and celebrate. Remember the people who died for our freedom and celebrate that very freedom.
Bravo.
I love you.
Bravo, Jonathan. Bravo.
Very good.
This morning, before I got on the call, I opened the door, looked out at the sun, and planted an American flag in my planter and just grinned and reminded myself that I have to send out a check to the Wounded Warriors Foundation. And then I grinned again and came on the call.
That's so great, Paul. It's a wonderful thing.
None of us could have said it any better. This is part of what was in your book, Sheep No More?
No, not really. What's interesting, and as far as that goes, the book Sheep No More is about, I teach people the art of awareness and attack survival. That's the subtitle. And I'm trying to teach people how they can look at every aspect of their life, dissect their life up into categories, and then focus on each, or I call them sector, focus on each sector from an attacker's point of view and do a threat assessment. That way they literally can predict every single type of attack that can happen in every sector of their life. And how does that measure, or how does that compare to this? Well, there are cops that deploy every single day in their jobs. There's firefighters that deploy every day, paramedics. And those people are called into battle largely because Americans have learned to become dependent, learn dependency, and they have become weaker. And I want Americans to be strong and exceptional like they were when, men and women charged over here for freedom against the tyrant. And I think this is my first step into literature, but people should realize that if you stop being a sheep, then you are literally in the direct lineage, just like the soldiers, just like the police and firemen, in supporting our freedom. You don't have to deploy to support freedom. You can do it by being a great American and securing your life and not waiting on these people to come and coddle you.
That's right. Wow. It's about taking action. It's about having a higher purpose. It's about pushing your own personal limits and loving
this life. Well, it's also about
this,
Randy. I mean, when I went to school, Jonathan, I had art, I had music, I had cooking, I could take wood chop, and I was a crack shot with a .22. We actually had a rifle range in the basement, and mm-hmm. I was the best shot at Lincoln Junior High School. Can you imagine that today? No, because we keep getting reduced or minimized. And then I really think it has to do with, corporate policies, the long work weeks, and shrinking incomes, and there's been over 200,000 evictions since, 200 million evictions of homeowners and apartment dwellers since the year 2000. So, as you mentioned, we're deteriorating. How do you suggest we build it back up again? I personally would like to see all the things I just mentioned back in the schools by any means. When I was downtown Los Angeles yesterday, there were a lot of people picketing for schools. We were told in California, we were told in California that if we put through this lottery system, I'm going to say probably 20 or 30 years ago now, that our schools would flourish because all the money from the lottery was going into the school system of California. All I see is shrinking schools and high fences. They're building chain link fences around all our schools and preparing for battle.
That was just trickery to bring that in, Val. That was just trickery. We're going to donate a portion of these lottery sales to the
school. It was all supposed to go to it. It wasn't donate a part of it. Every bit of those lottery sales were supposed to go to our schools.
Was just a sleight of hand. That's the thing. There was other programs on the books, and all they did was, use a pen and switch things around. It's never legitimate.
What if it is? I'm actually, Jonathan, suing Deutsche Bank, and I've been sued by Deutsche Bank as well, and I'm actually in two different court systems at the same time. One of them is the Superior Court of California, and the other one is the federal government. And to tell you the truth, the federal system is far superior to what we have going on in California. We have a scam mill for banks going on here. We have legal codes such as, if you get a copy of something, Jonathan, if you go down to a courthouse and ask for an original of something, what do you think they're going to give you?
A copy?
They give you a copy because in their language, original means first copy of a genuine article or note. Who would know that? California, original copies, quotes these, and banks can print up to 40 or 50 sales for you on your properties. Sell it. It's called derivatives. They print up these notes, and we're supposed to go for all of this stuff. We're supposed to buy everything they say. There's a man named Tom Hargraves that actually goes through documents, mortgage documents. And as far as I know, he has never found one without fraud in it. Not ever. So we're being lied to all over the place. And the problem is you can't see where or how, because there's even a secret code as far as the language is concerned.
Yeah, that's one thing that I definitely discovered when I was in the Bureau. I never worked white collar, but I did some arrests for white collar and assistance of those squads. But what I definitely found is that despite what everybody believes, our legal system is still growing. There's things out there that are corrupt, but they are not illegal because they're new. And, you know, just like the stock market changed once computers came online, well, so did the laws, but it's taken the laws a great deal of time to catch up with the technology. And that's why you see these things. That's why you see this corruption, is because other people aren't hunting for it, and they're able to get away with it, such as insider trading in Congress and in the Senate. You know, up until just recently, nobody even talked about it. But I remember when I was in the Bureau, Martha Stewart had been arrested for lying to the FBI about insider trading.
Totally remember that.
But yet, at the same time, all these different congressmen and congresswomen were going into private meetings behind closed doors with some of the largest companies in the world, and then going out and trading on their stock based on what they found out in those closed-door meetings, and nothing happened to them. So, that you know, Martha Stewart's pending, you know, at lockdown in her home for 14 or 18 months, and these people can get away with it no problem, no crime against them whatsoever, even though they're committing the crime. So crime is an interesting thing, because first you got to realize that they are doing something that's going to injure other people or injure the country. Once you figure that out, you have to pass laws in order to make that a crime. And when you have people like Congress, people that own the banks and that manipulate your, whether it be your housing loans, your student loans, your car loans, all these things that they stick into these bundles, they can manipulate those numbers, and they can manipulate all the different things that they want, because it is not against the law yet. Because
it's not against the law to manipulate all the figures?
It's not against the law in the eyes of I'm not saying what you're talking about in particular, but in order to, like, let's take the housing bubble that burst. It was not illegal the way that they were packaging these loans and then getting the things upgraded and then selling them to very specific people for inflated prices.
Yeah, I was one of them. I paid $5,000 to get into a lottery, and I bought a penthouse in Hawaii, okay?
Yeah.
And then what happened was that we were supposed to get $2,800 a month back, but since it was the penthouse, and by the way, every five floors they charged us an additional $5,000 for the view and all that kind of stuff, they started renting the hotel from the bottom, so all of the people on the top floors went bankrupt.
So you have to differentiate between unethical and illegal, because until a law is passed, that unethical thing is not against the law. So go ahead.
And Congress actually jumps in there and they tell the courts that they can't be investigated, and they base it on the fact that they're making government decisions behind the scenes. So they exempt themselves. And it's interesting, too, that you brought up Martha Stewart, because she actually went to the court, the White House Correspondents' Dinner, and it's like, here she went to jail for something that they've pretty much exempted themselves from, and, you know, hangs out and makes them her company. Just kind of an odd
side note. It really is. But you know what's right? Really interesting about Martha Stewart? They feel like she took one for them.
Maybe so.
You know, it's part of it. I mean, she's gotten a tremendous amount of respect for the way she did her time and her stuff there. So, Martha Stewart, good on you. You are one who survived and came out even stronger. I was thinking, guys, this has been a hellish week for me, being in two courts at the same time and doing the paperwork and blah, 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 blah. And I keep thinking, oh, my God. And then I look at what we've accomplished, and I look back on the week, and it's like, yeah, it was tough, but look what we've accomplished. And I really feel like our country is turning around again under President Trump. And though he has done things from, he has said things from time to time I haven't been happy with, one of the things that's really disturbed me a lot is all this comment about how he was supposedly called our Mexican-American neighbors or our southern neighbors animals, and he didn't do that. He actually called them 13 animals for what they were doing.
Am I correct? That's correct. And the media out there is viciously false in terms of spreading basically what I consider to be mind control terminology and mind control semantics. And it's certainly part of it's a corollary to Jonathan's book. Jonathan's book is phenomenally important in terms of raising our awareness, because the essence of Jonathan's book is to try to learn to think like the attacker and maintain that awareness in our lives. The attacker is not always a physical attacker. It's not always a terrorist. It definitely can be the financial system. But fundamentally, I think, as I recall from the book, and you practiced it with your response to your eviction situation, but in Jonathan's book, I think there were the, correct me if I'm wrong, Jonathan, it was the why, the where, the when, and the who, and
how.
the how. Am I right?
Yes.
Okay, good. I did remember. This was from December of 2017 on Hannity's show. But the essence is to try and learn to think from the attacker's point of view. What is the attacker's perspective? You know, what's the attacker going to do? In this case, from the financial point of view, the attacker is going to exact the maximum amount of money from the victim. You can think like the attacker, but sometimes you just don't have the financial means to respond. But I had to take active shooter training in two different locations, and of course, Jonathan, as you know, that's one of the keys to the response to the active shooter, is to learn to think like the active shooter in the various scenarios in which the active shooter might exist. But your book is tremendously valuable. For the least of its aspect is to raise our sense of awareness. We have to go through our daily lives with this awareness, because our sociocultural milieu has changed so enormously in the last two decades. So thank you for that, Jonathan.
Yeah,
and you got it.
I was thinking as you were talking, Paul, I was actually thinking of Comey, and I was wondering, you as an ex-FBI person, I had recently heard that a number of the FBI were embarrassed by what was happening and wanted to, quote, be investigated.
I think Jonathan will confirm what I'm about to say. The moment that Comey came out with his nonsensical response, quote, and I quote, "no reasonable prosecutor." Well, Comey was not an attorney. Within a week, there was a revolt within the FBI. The rank and file of the FBI are fabulous, hardworking, committed, dedicated people, and they loathed what Comey did to really dishonor the organization. And I think Jonathan probably knew about the revolt that that Comey was facing. It didn't make national news, but it exists to this day. Right, Jonathan?
Yeah, and it got even worse. I think that point in time, most of the people that I talked to from the Bureau were taken back. Whereas I could, once you step, it's really interesting, once you step out of federal service, you look back and you see a much clearer picture than when you're in it. It's kind of like when you're swimming and you're in the middle of the water, you can't get a good picture of the surrounding area. And so when you step out of service, you get a great picture of the reality of what's going on. And I think people in the Bureau, when he came out and gave a 14-minute speech about how guilty Hillary Clinton was, and then a one-minute speech about how she's innocent, people started to say, what's that all about? But when they found out that he leaked information, and he did it with a smile on his face.
Yeah.
A grin, absolutely. What hypocrisy.
Yeah, and it shocked people that were supporters of his deeply. Now, there's still a lot of support people that are not agents that are still behind Comey, and I implore those people to take a step back and get a real view that, first of all, they base it on political ideologies and the political narrative. They just need to look at the truth. But let me just say, because there's a couple things there, I just want to say this real quick, is that when we talk about, and I loved what you said there about the financial things with and in response to my book and the active shooter. Active shooter is a perfect example where people who have their minds in the right place fall short. And I'll tell you why. Active shooter training talks about how to deal with a shooter after they're already there. That's why they do active shooter.
It's response-based. It's not proactive.
Right. Every school, every law enforcement agency around the country has done active shooter training, and that's why when they show up to the schools, it's usually stopped. But I mean, usually the shooter shoots themselves, but law enforcement is there running towards the sound of the gun. But they don't do threat assessments. They don't look at how an attacker will approach the vulnerabilities that they can exploit, the motivation behind them. They don't look at those things. And so it's always a surprise as to, as you were saying there a minute ago, who would attack, why they would attack, where the attack would happen, when it will occur, and how it will be carried out. And you can look at anything. You can look at computer crimes. You can look at bank fraud. You can look at terrorism or pickpockets. You can look at going to a bar and figure out, you know, I'm a female, and this is, if I was an attacker, this is where I'd approach, this is what I would use in order to, you know, rape or steal something from me. People don't think and put themselves in a position to do these threat assessments. And so if let's fast forward now to what we were talking about when we look at Comey and we look at what's going on in the FBI. The truth of the matter, and this is where I am shocked that people that seek for all these answers about, like, you know, you were talking about the Harp machine and all these things. This is where your attention should be right now, because it is the biggest threat that we have in our country. It is a family tree that includes, of course, politicians, big money donors like Soros, and even other people that say they're on the conservative side. It includes the media, which is the modern day Goebbels, that worked with Hitler. They're the propaganda machine. They are, in a lot of ways, the life-sustaining breath that comes from this corrupt entity that we have ruling this country. You have to look at the people that are on the street, the protesters, the community organizers, the college professors, and the actors and the media personalities. All those people have the same narrative, but the most important part of that, covert part of that whole family tree, is what's called an SESer, a senior executive service member. And not all senior executive service members in the government are corrupt, but there are a select few in upper categories, such as the Lois Lerners in the IRS. She was the SESer. Robert Mueller as the special counsel and as the FBI director, SESer. and as a DOJ, a high-level DOJ attorney. He's a senior executive service member. You look at McCabe. You look at Strzok. You look at Lisa Page. You look at Rod Rosenstein. You look at any political appointee, they're SESers. Hillary Clinton, when she was in. You look at Uma Abedin. All these people are senior executive service. Here's the kicker. There is zero overwatch. There is no overwatch of these people. So they can work in collusion with each other, with spies, with people, globalists who are focused on their same narrative, and there is zero overwatch. They can manipulate their agencies. They can say, I lost my emails, which any of us that's ever worked in government know that you don't lose your emails. They can break BlackBerries. They can wipe hard drives or even put a server in their own home and pass top secret information, and nothing will happen to them.
Or they can murder somebody and nothing will happen to them either.
That's
true. What's the answer to this, then? Where do we go? We'll never win if that doesn't get eliminated, eradicated.
Right.
Nunez, Jim Jordan, Trey Gowdy at least have the spine to try and do something and try and put some of these people behind bars and demonstrate the fact that we are a republic and we do have laws, we do have a constitution, and there is a rule of law, and the double standard will stop once and for all, because the last 15 years have been the demonstration of that double standard. And what Jonathan is saying is absolutely correct. These people ran unchecked, doing whatever they chose, whatever they wanted to do, with no oversight, secure in the knowledge that there would be no repercussions and no consequences of their actions. They were wrong. The consequences are going to happen, and heads are going to roll. That's my prediction.
Well, I did hear
on this show.
I did hear something yesterday. I don't know if it's a rumor or not, but I did hear that Obama's library was being sued because he wanted public lands for it. I hear people not going back to Congress in larger numbers than ever before, so something's got to be going on. I'm wondering if this is Trump, quotes, draining the swamp, because one of the amazing things I discovered was that Congress, as you were mentioning, Jonathan, had a few corrupt things going on, actually has a slush fund that pays, I don't know what the right word for it would be, bribe money to people that they have been sexually promiscuous with.
Right.
So
that's correct.
That's correct. That there was a slush fund, a defense fund, basically a shutdown, the harassed fund.
Yeah,
that's
and
true.
Maxine Waters doesn't even live in her district because she considers it too down for her, and she has this like amazing mansion, and we got Nancy Pelosi's mansion in San Francisco and stuff like that. I don't see any suffering going on here and a lot of stuff being made up, so...
Well, Nancy Pelosi collected a lot of crumbs in her lifetime.
well said, and very attractive crumbs, too.
Very big crumbs.
Yeah.
You know, Jonathan, what is your answer to clean this up?
You pull us out. What do you do? Where do you start?
Well, first off, people have to recognize, like I was saying before, and when it comes to schools, you can do all the active shooter training you want, but you're only going to know how to react. You're not going to know how to predict where these people may be coming from and who they may be and what they may be doing and when they're doing it. And that's the way the American people, the awake American people, have to make a shift to where, so they know something's broken in government. They know they need to vote the right people in. They know they need to respond, but they don't actually know who the enemy is, and they don't know how to predict what their behavior is so they can see it. You know, we get fed information from the media, but the media is feeding us a narrative of that information. And I'll give you a perfect example. There's a commercial that CNN keeps trying to push out about an apple, and they say, this is an apple, it's not a banana. Some people want you to believe it's a banana, but it's an apple. Well, the reality of what's going on. That's hogwash. That commercial is just them trying to blame Trump for a fake narrative. The reality is the news media will put an apple up there and tell you this is a red delicious apple when it's actually a Fuji apple. But you don't know apples enough to make that determination, so you go with the information that they give you. It's not a lie. It's an apple. But it is misinformation. It's not a red delicious apple. It's a Fuji apple. So we have to become educated on what is legal and what is not. And we have to look at those things that are not and realize that those are nefarious things that they're doing. And we have to look at the motivation behind what they're doing. And once you start to do that, you start to be, you can then look and paint the picture of this is the motivation, this is what they want, and then the people's actions will just become very clear. Communism is alive and well. People think that it went away with the Cold War. Communism is stronger than it's ever been. We just call it globalism, or we call it socialism or democratic socialism. We need the people, which is the hardest thing I've been trying to do myself first, and I've become disillusioned in this, to get the people talking. And once they talk, then they'll start to see reality, and then they can start making actions themselves on getting people out of office, pushing the right people in. But ultimately, what I believe has to happen is the truth about the SES program needs to come out. There needs to be laws enacted to ensure that SES and the highest-ranking people in government are held to the highest standard, rather than an E5 or an E1 that takes pictures of a sub and goes to jail for a year. Somebody who is an SESer that puts servers in their bathroom, they should go to jail for the rest of their life for treason and espionage. So
agree with that.
We need a shift. We need a shift in the way that we look at things, and those in the highest power need to start suffering the highest punishment when they do wrong things. Then we need to dissolve the DNC and the RNC, because I believe they are the biggest national security threats that we have to this country.
I agree with you.
Let me step in on one of the things that Jonathan said, just so that the listeners understand. He talked about somebody who was on a submarine who took a picture. That gentleman had the greatest heart. He was actually a really good guy. I've listened to interviews. And he took a picture on a submarine that he was working on. He was not allowed to. It was basically classified where he was working, if I'm repeating it right. But he took a couple pictures and sent them back home to the family to take a look at. They didn't go anywhere else. He wasn't doing any kind of espionage. He wasn't a rogue agent. He was just a young man who took some pictures on a job. Now, he was sent to prison. Now, you look at Hillary Clinton, just as an example, who erased everything, who ran everything on home computers and pagers and cell phones, and every government in the world could hack into and probably was watching, and maybe things were even getting filtered to them, and still she walks free.
And uranium
deals and
Benghazi
blowout. It's a double standard. Let's understand what Jonathan is saying. We're living in a double standard world.
Yes.
The poor sailor that you're talking about was a very nice, a very dedicated Navy man.
Yes, he was.
He got 1 year. At last count, Hillary has broken 181 laws, any one of which deserves jail time. Okay.
What does it take to get her in jail?
Well, why isn't she in jail? Because of Jonathan's commentary about the fact that we're living in a double standard world.
How do we get a woman in jail? Double standard, double schmandard. I want her in jail.
Of course. So does everyone who's a right-thinking person. That's the essence of the reason for the title of Jonathan's book, Sheep No More. He is suggesting that, you know, there are too many sheeps on our street. Well-meaning sheep, but they do not think for themselves. And
have either of you read Dan Brown's new book, Origins?
No. The what?
Dan Brown, the one who wrote the Da Vinci Codes?
Oh, Dan Brown.
Dan Brown. Have Jonathan, have you read any of Dan Brown's work?
No, I tend to veer away from fiction like that because I tell you why, because I, again,
personally,
like
I think you would love Origins. I think you would love it. So much of what you were talking about today is in that book. Plus, it's laced with codes and art, and you know some really incredible imagery. And he's a master at suspense. But it's all about the corruption of the political scene in Spain. But what was interesting is there's an assassin in it who happens to be an admiral in the Spanish Navy. And that whole thing when you were talking about the attacker, he gets into a situation in this church, this Gaudi church, with Dan Brown gets into a situation with the assassin, and the whole thing. The guy's brain, the way he works, the way he figures out what Langdon, what he's going to do next, the professor, and the different strategies and things like that, and the guarding and all this stuff. It's just exactly a lot of the stuff you were talking about, and it's put
I would guard against. I mean, look, people can read whatever they want. I just guard against individuals. Especially people who are on the front line, such as yourself, I would guard against mixing fact with fiction because we have, you know, James Comey, the Clintons. Look at the Clintons. I know two people have been murdered in my whole life. Most people don't know anybody. Those two people were Kevin Earle and Don Ives, the two kids that were killed on the train track. I used to eat lunch.
Bryant, Arkansas.
Yeah.
We are out of time. So sorry, we do not have time for the conversation. You need to end it in one sentence, best you can do there, Jonathan.
Go get sheep no more and stop being a sheep. That's what I recommend everybody go do.
Randy, last sentence.
If everybody takes a stand, even when they start to censor us, which they are, they can't stop half the country from speaking out.
Paul, one last sentence of no more than 10 words.
Vengeance and Treason, two books by Newt Gingrich, have to be read. And think for yourself.
Okay, my last sentence is you can send me an email at val@wakingupinamerica.com and get a copy of that ebook, Evicted. This program has been brought to you by Kirkgaard Intergalactic Media, our radio partners, CloningCompany.com, Happily200.com, HeavenIncorporated.com, Anavon Rights, Dr. James Murphy, John Denver, Dr. Joel Wallach, Sheriff Richard Mack, Tippi Hedren, Raul Julia Cash, Carol Channing, Deepak Chopra, Wolfgang Holbig, William P. Dunn, Ed Asner, Dennis Weaver, Larry Hagman, and Esther Williams, Admiral Eugene Carroll, Jane Goodall, Jonathan Granoff, Dennis Kucinich, Chris Burgard, Paul the Plumber, Terry Cole Whitaker, Sherry St. Vincent, Lonnie Hogan Miller, Sherry Sharifi Brown, Richard Stone, David R., descendant of King David, Randy Shannon, the Body Can, Edward F. Group III, Shalene Nightingale, and DrValerie.com, and Doctor is all spelled out. Thanks to Paul C. Bragg for leaving us your daughter, Patricia, to continue work. And Nathan Jett, a big thanks to our team at Voice America, Jess Fennard, our producer, Ryan Treasure, Randy Jackman, our friends at Cumulus Radio, Mike Vitale, Mary Flynn, and Ron Simon, and our research director, Ron Hayes, and to John Young at Totally Gospel, a big thanks for all the airtime and friendship you've given us over the years. A big thanks to our webmaster, Joe Chung. Merci beaucoup to Bent Migrant for his theme music, Almost Ordinary People. And, thanks for listening, and go out and be a friend to someone today.
And you're not crazy anymore.
Thank you for joining us today for Waking Up in America with Valerie Kirkgaard. Waking Up in America can be heard live every Wednesday on voiceamerica.com, and Valerie welcomes all emails at heavenincorporated.com.
This is for all you new, pouring through, now your heart is open.